You are listening to TRC Unleashed.
All right, let's talk about some crappy Gamecock football.
God, I am just not in a mental place for this. Y'all are going to have to hold my hand through this.
Yeah, I'm not holding your hand, but I will carry you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right, here we go.
The moments when the footprints in the sand are just one is when G-Man was carrying you.
Okay. A poster.
That's a reference G-Man's not getting, but I know you have to answer.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Who's the black sheep? What's the black sheep? No, not who I am or when I'm coming, so you sleep. Come on. Hello, Gamecock Nation. Welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 38. I am your host, Buck, and I am joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man. Gentlemen, welcome. I can't believe the regular season is almost over, and I didn't think I'd say this. I'm almost glad that it's almost over at this point. It's been a kind of a miserable week. I think after Saturday, after that Wofford game, people are kind of dreading actually having to go to Clemson and play those guys. But we'll get to our Clemson preview in a minute. Let's talk a little bit about the what happened at Williams-Brice on Saturday. It was not pretty. I had the pleasure or the displeasure of watching the first half, and I'd promised my son that we would go to the fourth grade championship game, which started at about 2:30. So I figured, I'll watch the first half on ESPN3. You know, we'll be up by, we'll have a terrible first half and we'll be up, 24-6 or something like that. And I won't feel bad about us possibly losing this game. And of course, what actually happens is the last play that I see before I leave for this fourth grade game is Wofford scoring a touchdown to tie the game at 7. And we go to halftime tied at 7. And I was just miserable from that point on because I had to rely on text messages from you two to try to tell me what was going on. And I need to.
Well, especially since G-Man's skirt was all out of whack.
G-Man's panties were in a bunch. I mean, I was, and I tell you, you folks out there listening, I said, okay, guys, I'm not going to be watching the game, so, keep me posted. And the three of us have texted each other through games enough to know, but I'm telling you, I don't have it in front of me, but I was getting things like one word text, like pathetic, awful, we suck. You realize we're going to lose this game. And I'm like, what's happening? No, tell me what is happening in the game.
Well, T-Bone finally did give you some play-by-play. I didn't have it in me. All I could do was commentate.
And your commentary was nothing but just one word misery.
Yeah, he was giving some hot football takes throughout that second half. Pathetic. We suck. We're going to lose.
It was bad. I mean, it was just bad. That third quarter, I've never seen a quarter go by so quick as the third quarter.
And I did watch it Sunday night when the replay came on, and I'm glad I didn't have to watch that live because, Wofford would get 3, they'd get 2, and they'd, get 6. They'd get 6, they'd get 2, they'd get 4. They just, death by a thousand cuts with that offense that they, and at one point they had like a 3rd and 9, and your boy from Pickens ran the option
Lawson
and got 9.5. And I was just, oh man, I was glad I was not watching that live. So, I mean, T-Bone, what happened to the offense on Saturday?
I would like to just chalk it up to a general lack of intensity. I mean, that's what the players said, is that they didn't come out there, fired up enough to play. But, watching it, it looked like to me that Shaw was really hurting. The offensive line couldn't stoop down low enough to catch those little bitty D linemen for Wofford. And they were just scatting all around and couldn't throw the ball and could run a little bit, but we didn't really want to seem to stay with the run. So, I don't know what's going on with the offense. It was almost more frustrating to watch the offense than it was the defense. So,
yeah, well, you know, Spurrier has no patience when the offense is not clicking, and even if we could. If we could pick up the kind of yardage that Wofford was picking up, if we could pick up five a clip, he gets very impatient, and he wants to hit a long one eventually, and we just couldn't do it on Saturday. And then, you know, the defense, G, started out really well the first two or three series. I think they had nine plays in their first three series or something like that. It took them a while to pick up a first down, but then they realized – with this Berenstain Bear guy, you know, that they could just run right up the middle, right up the gut, and we're sticking it to us. What happened to us on defense?
Well, you know, I think they stayed real disciplined early on. You know, they were taking the dive man and taking the pitch man and taking the quarterback, and you could tell that they were really well prepared in the first quarter. But I think after the offense couldn't move the ball or fumbled it away or whatever the offense did, I think the defense started trying to feel like, and this is my opinion, they started feeling like I think they had to make a big play. And I think they got a little undisciplined. And when you get undisciplined playing against that kind of offense, then usually the fullback's going to kill you. And that's exactly what happened. And that guy is a heck of a football player. Let's acknowledge that. That guy is a stud running back, and you give that guy some room, I mean, he's going to drag people like 10 yards, which he did several times. And, you know, but we got adjusted and thankfully made some plays. DJ comes up with a big stick to jar the ball loose, and that was the play of the game as far as I'm concerned. And it was a huge relief because they were driving for the go-ahead touchdown late third quarter, and we couldn't stop them.
Right. Yeah, it was hard to watch. Unfortunately, we got that stop, scored a touchdown, or excuse me, kicked a field goal, and then we stopped them on a fourth and short deep in their own territory, and were able to get a touchdown. And then Akeem Augusti gets a touchdown on a fumble return, and Gamecocks win it 24-7. So let's pack that one up, shove it back in the back of the closet, never to be heard from again. You know, the only bright spot is, and I keep telling myself this, I don't really believe it, is that Citadel game last year, the week before we played Clemson, was pretty miserable too. I mean, we wound up pulling away in the second half, but we were only up by 7 in that game. And I seem to remember some texts from you guys during that game too that were in the "we suck" kind of a vein. So
yeah, because you never do that.
Right.
You never give that kind
I am all
text or opinion.
I'm all sunshine and puppy dog tails around here. So let's give the rubber chicken awards for the week. I'm going to go first because I hadn't gone first in a while. And I'm going to give mine to DJ. As G-Man said, that fumble that he caused was probably the play of the game. Stopped Wofford's drive. So DJ Swearinger gets my rubber chicken award, and I tell you what, he's had a great season. He was probably our defensive MVP, along with JD Clowney. But DJ may deserve that on his own. T-Bone, how about you? You got a rubber chicken award?
Well, I think it's a good call with DJ. He's kind of the heart and the soul of the defense, the way maybe Travion Robertson was last year. You know, the defense has kind of got his attitude. Which I like, but I'm going to go on the other side of the ball for my rubber chicken award and give it to Bruce Ellington. Back-to-back 100-yard receiving games. Sure hope whatever's wrong with his hands, not seriously wrong with his hand, because he has turned into our playmaker coming down the stretch.
I'm sorry, what did Bruce Ellington do on Saturday?
Back-to-back 100-yard games the previous 2 weeks, and then he caught a big ball in this game and got
okay.
hurt. So I'm giving.
I thought you were continuing with my
system of randomly naming people.
I thought you were saying he had a 100-yard receiving game on Saturday, and I thought maybe you had just like passed out for a week or something. I wasn't sure why you were giving it to him.
No, I'll tell you what it is. It's kind of like the Nobel Prize. I've used this analysis before. that President Obama got here a few years ago. It's in my earnest hope of what Bruce is going to do on Saturday.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. I figured you were just giving it to him because he got hurt. It reminds me of when I was 8 years old and I threw a perfect game in Little League. And the game ball was given to the catcher because he got hit with a foul tip and he had to come out of the game. He had a bruise. I throw a perfect game and he's got a bruise on his arm, so he gets the game ball.
Right. There you go.
So G-Man, who you got?
First of all, only you would bring up a perfect game you threw as an 8 year old.
I had it working, baby. The fastball. The fastball.
Remembers
that.
All right,
G-Man, you were the catcher, weren't you?
Negative. I'm gonna give it to somebody who actually performed well and made a difference in the ball game on the offensive side of the ball, and it's also sort of a lifetime chicken award, maybe. Gonna give it to Kenny Miles. For coming up big, running for 120-something yards in a ball game and a touchdown. Thought he ran hard. And just want to kind of honor him on his coming back to the team, being a team player, and, you know, taking the ball when Marcus went down. And, you know, he never complained when he did get the ball. And, you know, then he's rewarded and has a big game. I think if they'd have kept feeding the ball instead of trying to – wacky pass plays they tried on occasion on Saturday, he probably would have run for 250 yards, honestly. But I'm going to give it to Kenny, and we all know Kenny is a Tiger killer, so I'm hoping he's rounding into form for Saturday night.
Yep, we all hope so. That's a good call. And to be honest with you, I really don't blame you, T-Bone. There weren't a whole lot of other people that did deserve a game ball.
I'm looking back here, and I think y'all are you really not appreciating the three catches for 22 yards that Bruce Ellington had, or the one rush for 4 yards.
Why didn't you just give your rubber chicken award to the inanimate carbon rod?
I've already given it to him.
I think
that was the first one I ever gave.
So anyway, all right, that one's behind us. And guess who we got coming up this week? We got the Tigers. So, I don't even know what to say about this game. I'm terrified that Connor Shaw or Jadeveon Clowney is going to show up on Saturday night in a walking boot and street clothes. I think both of them are going to play, but you know, I thought Connor Shaw was going to play against East Carolina too, and he wound up not playing at all. You know, Clemson's offense is cooking. Their defense is awful. But the fear seems to be that our offense will not be able to do enough to keep up with the Clemson offense, because they're going to score points on us. As good as our defense is, these guys are going to score points, and it's going to be a matter of us being able to match them score for score. What do you guys think?
I think you're right to a certain extent, but I've long learned that I really, and I think I said this on an earlier podcast this year, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen. That certainly seems like the proper analysis for this game, that we're going to have to outscore them for the most part. But, you know, I watched that Stanford-Oregon game.
Right.
Saturday night, and was just totally impressed and surprised by Stanford shutting those guys down, held them to 14 points. So, you know, it can be done. And, I mean, who would have thought Oregon could be held to 14 points
right
in a game?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to have to score some points. But – you know, let's don't forget how he's beaten in the last 3 years, which is running the football, playing solid defense, converting some third downs. I mean, I think that's really going to be the key, is keeping control of the ball and converting third downs and playing solid defense. I think they're going to get their points, but I don't know. I'm not convinced that it's going to be, you know, 62-48 or some ridiculous score like I don't know, like we saw last week up in Death Valley.
Yeah, and I think you're touching on an important point there, and it kind of goes back to the way we feel after the Wofford game, or maybe the way we felt last year after the Navy game, and that's pace. You know, if you look at the stats, which I just happen to have in front of me, Clemson has scored 63 offensive touchdowns so far this year. We've scored 46. We've given up only 21, and they've given up 32. So, in other words, we have more than doubled our opponents, and they haven't. Now, they've scored a lot more touchdowns, but it comes down to, you know, pace. Who's going to dictate the pace in this game? Are we going to keep them in front of us, make them, you know, have 8, 9, 10-play scoring drives, or are they going to score in 4 plays? I think that's going to be the story of the game, is how many possessions does everybody give? Are the Clemson fans looking at each other at the end of the first half saying, man, that was a quick half. What just happened? I feel like we only touched the ball 4 times.
Yeah.
If it's that kind of game, I feel pretty good about our chances. But if it turns into a track meet, man.
Yeah, and that, again, that kind of goes back to the Spurrier's patience. Is he going to have enough patience to try to put together what game was it last year? Like the Tennessee game last year. What was it, a 20-play, 98-yard drive or whatever it was? Those are the kind of drives that we're gonna need, the ones where we're just picking up small chunks instead of hitting a big play. I think we're going to need to play a little bit of keep away from those guys. We're going to need to pressure Taj Boyd. Everybody knows that. Everybody's saying that. I think we're going to need to pick up a couple of turnovers here and there. Clemson has been they've turned the ball over a few times this year when I've watched them, either by fumble or interception. Taj Boyd's having a great year, no question. He hasn't faced a defense like he's going to face on Saturday. People can say Florida State, but I think we've got a better defense than those guys. So anybody dare throw a score out there?
I earlier had to make a prediction. This was last Wednesday, I guess, for the score for this game.
Before the Wofford
and
game?
I said 38-35, I think, which that could be a South Carolina win, especially maybe if that 35 includes a late Clemson touchdown. I think if you start picking us to score anything more than 38, you're starting to just get wishful. So I'm hoping we can keep them under 30.
Yeah. G-Man, you got anything?
You have to come back to me on that. I'm still chewing on a score at the moment.
So chewing on it helps you form the numbers in your mind?
Yeah,
make sure
it does.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, you know, the most important guy on the field on Saturday, in my most humble opinion, is going to be Connor Shaw. And there has been this growing vocal minority that has been getting louder and louder over the last 2 or 3 weeks that is just hating on Connor Shaw. And people can have their opinions. I get it. But there's just no real basis for this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in my time machine. And I'm going to go back to October 11th of 2011. And I'm going to talk to T-Bone and G-Man on that day. Okay, so here we go. All right, I'm Future Buck talking to T-Bone and G-Man. It's October 11th, 2011. Steven Garcia has just been kicked off of the South Carolina football team. So, T-Bone, how are you feeling at the moment?
Just, I don't know. There's a mixture of emotions because I feel, number one, relieved. I'm really tired of all that drama. You know, the other thing is I think, you know, I'm uncertain about what this other guy's going to have for us. He's played started one game, and we saw how that worked out. So I just don't know if he's cut out. I just can't see us winning you know, winning consistently with a quarterback like Connor Shaw. So little bit nervous and uncertain. Oh, and by the way, that's a really cool phone you've got there.
It's the new iPhone 4.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got a touch screen and everything. Well, let me tell you, G-Man, I've got good news for you. Because I have seen the 2011, the rest of the 2011 season, and the majority of the 2012 season. And as a starting quarterback, Connor Shaw has gone 15-3. How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel pretty good. 15-3, it's probably the best record of any starting quarterback in the history of the school.
Yeah, I think that's probably the highest win percentage. I haven't looked that up in my future time, but I think that's probably about right. Now, there's some criticism of Connor Shaw because of those three games. All of those three games he's lost. He lost to an Arkansas team in 2011 in the season that you're still in at Fayetteville, a team that would finish number 5 in the country and win the Cotton Bowl, that Arkansas team. But he also goes on the road and beats Mississippi State, Tennessee, beats Clemson, and Nebraska in the Capital One Bowl. So you've got some things to look forward to in the 2011 season, first ever 11-win season. So, and in 2012, he's getting a lot of heat because people are saying that he doesn't play well on the road. And I got to tell you, there's a couple of losses in your future. One of them is at LSU to a team that is ranked in the top 5 in the country. And that's at Baton Rouge. And then again, down in Gainesville, Florida, where Connor Shaw doesn't play real well. And the Gamecocks drop a game to another top 5 team. So in general, would you be pretty satisfied with what I'm telling you that the future holds for the South Carolina football team?
Man, I'd be ecstatic. I mean, you're not happy with any losses, but you're telling me we lost to a top 5 Arkansas team and two of the traditional powers on the road. But other than that, he's run the gauntlet?
Yep. No real hiccups in there. All right.
I got a question for you, too, about him.
Yeah.
Did he go through both seasons injury-free?
Actually, he didn't. He broke his shoulder blade in the first game against Vanderbilt, first game of the 2012 season. Yeah,
and we still won that game.
We still won that game. He was actually out for a little while, and even though that was a really painful injury, he came back in and led a touchdown drive and helped us win that game. So
what a warrior. I bet the entire Gamecock Nation was united behind him after they saw that.
Yeah, not so much. There was a lot of people are actually calling for Dylan Thompson to come in and start at quarterback for us.
Who?
Yeah, Dylan Thompson. I know you're thinking, what the hell happened to Andrew Clifford?
That wasn't Cade Thompson that we're calling for?
Cade Thompson actually transferred a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
But good call.
But wait, what about Tanner McAvoy?
Tanner McAvoy is throwing for 4,000 yards in the Arizona Fall League, I think.
Future Buck, you're really scaring me.
So,
but
he
was going to be the savior.
Right. And then back to the injury, Shaw plays with a sprained foot for most of the year, which is a really painful injury. So he's not able to run quite as much. And, but he never complains about this stuff. He never, never once you hear him make an excuse. So anyway, good luck, guys, in the future. Vote Republican if you get a chance. Those guys have got a really good shot in 2012. So I'm going to hop in my time machine and we're going to get back to 2012. All right, and we're back to 2 days before Thanksgiving. Hope you guys are planning to have a good time with family and friends, and eat some turkey and all that good stuff before the showdown in Death Valley. G-Man, have you been chewing on that score long enough? You got anything in mind, or do we need to just come back to you at the end of the show? You're going to make it dramatic.
I'm thinking drama, yeah.
All right. Come back. Okay. So I don't know. Were there any SEC games of significance on Saturday?
I think so.
Worth talking about? I mean, there
I
was.
Think so. I think the Vandy Tennessee game was worth talking about.
That was a beauty. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a beauty. I just thought that it just sort of capped off the dismantling, or I don't know what you want to call it, but the downfall of the Tennessee program, to see them get curb stomped by Vanderbilt.
Right.
You know, it's just, I mean, really, you want to talk about getting in your way back machine. I mean, just go back a few years and think about what has happened to the Tennessee program.
Yeah, it's been a pretty dramatic fall off. And they got rid. What was Phil Fulmer's record his final season? Was it 8-4, 9-3?
I think they went to the SEC championship game.
I think that was his next to last year. Okay. I'd have to go back. But yeah. I mean, there was talk of him losing his job that year too. I think, if I remember correctly, going to the SEC championship may have saved him for one season. But
right.
Yeah, they kill for an 8-4 right now. And I hear rumors today were that Arkansas offered John Gruden the head coaching job and he turned it down. And then what I read was that Tennessee is putting together a, quote, mind-blowing, unquote, offer for Gruden to come to Tennessee. And G-Man, you have said unequivocally, Gruden ain't going to a college team. He's going to be in the NFL.
That's what I think. I mean, I'd be surprised. I mean, yeah, we know he's got some connections to Tennessee, but I'm gonna stick by that. I'm gonna be very, very surprised if he ends up in Tennessee. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's gonna be a kind of a hard place to win. I mean, as far down as they've gone, I don't see it as that attractive a job.
Yeah,
it's interesting how much things have changed there, and you know how schizophrenic they've been with their hiring. You know, they got rid of the Tennessee guy, the big fat guy that looked like every one of their alumni. They got rid of him, and then they went after the flash, the Hollywood. And then they kind of stepped back and went traditional SEC coaching,
legacy.
Legacy, yeah, exactly, the legacy hire. And so what are they going to do now? You know, what are they going to do now? I don't see them having the patience to go up and comer again. Right. So, I mean, maybe they need to hire Gruden. And if they do that, it just, I don't know, it seems desperate. I mean, how big of a savior could this guy be? I kind of agree with the G-Man. This doesn't look like a great job right now, especially if you look around the conference at who you got to beat.
Right. Well, should be interesting. Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Auburn, although there was a rumor floating in the Twitterverse yesterday that Auburn may give Chizik one more year, but I just don't see how that's possible. One of my Auburn insiders told me today that that Chizik was told, "Don't worry about your Sunday TV show after the Alabama game on Saturday. Just take a day off." So maybe they're making plans to get him.
You know, another coaching job that might be coming open is the Vandy job.
You think so?
There was rumors out there in the Twitterverse about that Cal job being just tailor made for James Franklin, and if I were James Franklin, I would leave immediately.
I've heard that NC State is his destination.
Yeah, that's
regardless,
been out there
if you're
too.
Making that call, would you not leave now? I mean, is this not the time to do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not going to. He's got a good recruiting class coming in, but regardless of recruiting classes, he can't do better than 8-4, I don't think, at Vanderbilt with the schedule that they have to play every year.
No, it's this is the peak of the mountain right here.
Right.
And you better go while the getting's good. You need to get all of that while you can get it. You know? So Franklin is I think he's gone. At least he should be gone.
For a minute there I didn't think we were talking about football anymore. I'm not sure what was going on there. Anyway.
I'm smoking a cigarette now.
All right. Elsewhere, let's see. Ole Miss had a chance to help improve our bowl destination by beating LSU, and they blew it. And then, of course, the big upsets. Oregon loses to Stanford. Kansas State loses to Baylor. And, you know, in my heart, as a college football fan, I was pulling for Stanford. I was pulling for Baylor, you know, without really thinking of what the consequences were going to be. And that's that the Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game is basically going to be winner goes to the national championship game.
It's just incredible.
And I'm still pretty sure Alabama should win that game, but there's no doubt that Georgia could win that game. And somebody put out there, I think if Georgia goes to the national championship game, they would be playing for the national championship. They would have the worst loss of any team playing for a national championship since like 1983 or something like that. The 4-touchdown loss. So my, how things can change during the course of one football season. And only
I don't think there's any way Saban is going to let them lose that ball game, though. I mean, I agree with you, and I said it the other day first, that I think Georgia could beat them.
Yeah.
But I just think that there's going to be some sort of, you know, the football gods, or, you know, Saban's just too tough to lose to Rick. I just don't see it in the end. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So at least, I mean, you know, we can't stand for that. You know, we've got Alabama. You've got to win. That's just all there is to it.
Right. Yeah. You know, and we went through our bowl destination talk last week, and really, not a lot has changed. The only thing that just scares the ever living crap out of me is if we do lose to Clemson on Saturday, we probably get a Chick-fil-A bowl berth, and there's a better than average chance we could wind up playing Georgia Tech. And after what we saw against Wofford the other day, that is just a lose-lose proposition for us. But I don't even know what other ACC team would qualify for the game.
Duke? Right, I think Miami and North Carolina are both out.
That leaves you with Duke, Virginia Tech. I don't know.
Well, Georgia Tech's going to be 6-7.
Right, right. Well, they,
you know, at some point we got to talk about that. This thing that the conference formerly known as the Big East, which is now the ACC,
right?
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Maryland and Rutgers on the move, and man, when is it going to stop? I would imagine the SEC is going to make a move here. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move before next season to add, you know, maybe an NC State and Virginia Tech. I wouldn't be surprised to see them add a couple of teams and just cap it at 16. 16 seems to be the number.
Oh, it's coming. It's inevitable.
No, the reason we know it's coming is they came up with that 1-year schedule again.
Right.
You know, this was supposed to be the bridge schedule, and then all of a sudden they huddled and they said, no, next year's a bridge schedule.
Right.
And that's the signal that, wait, there's going to be 16 before they set this thing in stone.
I think you're eventually going to see NC State and Virginia Tech into the SEC.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is going to grab Virginia, and they're going to try to get North Carolina. And North Carolina may decide that they have no choice but to go.
Right.
But I think Virginia, I mean, there's talk, there's Georgia Tech talk as well for the Big Ten to get the Atlanta market. I don't know about that one. They have to go non-contiguous to get Georgia Tech, which they're big on that. But the big moves then become, you know, what happens to the ACC? What happens to the football schools in the ACC? And, you know, Florida State, I think they're as good as gone now to the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Clemson, are they going to be left out? Are they going to be included? That's what's interesting, is will they be included in one of these scenarios? Or are they going to be left with UConn, Syracuse, Pitt, and, you know, by that time, East Carolina in some league?
They will become the Metro Conference of football if that happens. they will be the Metro. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Should be an interesting off season, and hard to believe it's almost here. I have got to give a shout out to the Meat Locker blog. I don't even know what to call him. Do we call him Meat? Do we call him Meat Locker?
Meat.
The Meat. Let's just call him Meat.
Yeah.
So I put out on Twitter, we were getting ready to do a podcast, any questions or comments, and I don't know. Peg Pelvis Pete hit us with a comment that I cannot say on a family-friendly show.
But it was a good one.
It was a fantastic one. So shout out to P3 out there. And then shout out to Meat Locker. He dropped about three questions on us, so I'm going to put this one. T-Bone, I'll let you address this. Will Taj Boyd be more successful as a kick returner for the Cowboys than Woodrow Dantzler was?
You know, I have no idea. Did Woodrow Dantzler do some kick returning for the Cowboys?
I think he did not
follow his pro career.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
I don't know about what's going to happen with Taj. I hope that on Saturday, I hope that we play a soft zone. We keep everything in front of us. We send a blitz every now and then, and we get Taj thinking, because if his feet are moving, he's not thinking. If he can make a couple of mistakes, if they can get frustrated, who cares what happens to Taj Boyd after Saturday?
I got a name for you.
What?
I got a guy that I'm looking at on Saturday. Who's the other Tiger Killer guys? Who else? Come on.
Devontae Holloman.
That's him. Watch out for Devontae. Watch out for 21. I got a feeling he's going to come up big.
Do you know what I've had? I've had a feeling all week, and this is on the negative side. We're going to get a punt blocked. Is anybody? We're due. We're due to have a punt blocked.
Although I'll tell you, we are due, but I'll tell you, if you look at the stats, one area that jumps out at you is that Clemson is actually worse on special teams than us.
Really?
Didn't they block one of our punts last year?
I think they did. But, I mean, if you look at it, it's they're a horrible kick coverage team. Yeah. Horrible. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. Meat with the Meat Locker blog also asked if Dabo Swinney is the only collegiate coach to not hit puberty yet. So
you know what you got to do to hit puberty? You got to quit sleeping in your mom's bed.
That would be a good start. That would be a good start. All right, guys. G-Man. Lay it on us. Give us a score.
28-27.
In favor of the Gamecocks?
You're going to say who won?
Right.
Gamecocks.
Yeah.
All right, Gamecocks, 28-27. I do not know how – we talked for about 10 minutes before we actually started doing the show, didn't we? I was about to say, I don't know how we squeezed an hour out of this with absolutely zero preparation or talking points, but well, people probably turned off the podcast about 5 minutes in anyway. So,
started weak. B Quick Quack had a question.
Did she? What did she ask?
She said, "Where can I leave a message?"
We do not have a cock box, so you cannot leave. You cannot leave a message with us. Hit me up on Twitters. All right. Thanks everybody for writing in questions, comments, anecdotes. Anything else? Any last thoughts? We will have a recap of the game next week.
I will say this: we haven't really talked about the mood up here in the land of the orange and whatever their color is this week. They don't even see us as a speed bump.
Really?
They're already calling plays for the Sugar Bowl. I mean, there is no chance in their mind.
Right. It just makes me want to beat them that much worse. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, folks. Before we sign off, we'd like to remind you, all Gamecock fans, and we hope to extend this number, it has now been 1,453 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at RubberChickens. That's RUBR Chickens. Tell your friends, tell your family. And we'll talk to you soon. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Black sheep slam now. No, you heard the hovers. Only still the lovers. Then, of course, the choice.
is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is where it's at. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is kind of fat. Where's the black sheep? Here's the black sheep. Even if we wanted to, the clock cannot be weak. Watch me swing like this. Why should I swing it like that? Because in fact, on me it might not attract. Therefore, I ignore. Do as I feel inside. I live with me. I've got my back tonight. You know what I'm saying? Yo, black, I'm not playing. Need to go with this and go with this with no delay. And see, in actuality, wonder can it be? I made it look easy because it is to me. Anytime capacity was filled, tried to rock it. Anytime a honey gave us play, tried to knock it. Never was a fool, so we finished school. Never see us sweat and you'll never see us drool. Out to rock the globe while I still hit a rock. Don't punch girls and we don't punch a clock. Gotta go, see you later by the cat. And you can't beat that with a bat. You can do it.